baby cracked him on the skull. Ow! Even with the disadvantage of poor vision, the armorer was a deadly foe in close quarters fighting. The others, Jack, Mildred, Doc, and Christy, all came to instant readiness, their own individual weapons springing up from their holsters and other places of concealment to find safe haven in their hands. No other ambushers revealed themselves. Jack peered in disbelief up into the foliage above.
That it?
Looks like it.
Phew! Stoops.
Mildred knelt to check the broken cranium of the man JB had taken down. She felt the bloody skull and winced.
This one's alive, but he won't be answering any questions for a while. Some lump he's growing on his skull.
Could improve his dumbass looks.
The sec man Ryan had drilled staggered to his feet, holding his chest and ribs with both hands. His face was a twisted mask of agony as he tried awkwardly to stand. Ryan reached over and shoved him back down hard on the ground.
Ow! God damn it!
Wearing armor under those work clothes, aren't you?
Best purchase I ever made. Saved my ass twice before.
Too bad they don't make it for the head.
You weren't aiming for my head.
I am now.
The attacker blanched and covered his head with his arms.
Shit!
Hold still. No, don't keep trying to get up or I'll drop you like your pal over there.
The man looked over at his comrade, lying unconscious at the edge of the road.
He chilled?
No, just sleepy. What I want you to do is roll over flat on your stomach with your hands above your head. Cross your legs like a bashful gaudy slut, and keep them that way until I tell you to move.
The man complied, his face contorting with pain as he rolled over onto his abused chest.
Now, I'm gonna ask you some questions. I want answers, and I want them fast, or I'm gonna start blowing you apart piece by piece. And no body armor's gonna stop it. You get me?
Wait a second. We're sec men out of freedom. You're getting awfully damn close to the area we're supposed to protect.
Ryan looked to Adrian for confirmation. Adrian shrugged and pointed to the identical green denim jackets the two men wore. On the right arm of each was a white patch with an ornate cursive F in a circle.
They're wearing freedom colors and patches like sec men. Could be telling the truth.
That don't mean much. They could have stolen the clothes from freedom. Or even chilled the real guards for the threads and hardware. Okay, pal, what are your names?
I'm Michelson. The guy you knocked cold is Isaac.
Mike and Ike. That's real cute.
Dean had collected the dropped handguns the men were carrying and gave one of them to JB for identification.
Twin Colts, a 2000 model. This was the first gun from Colt that broke away from the old John Browning original design of the lock and breech that drops and swings. The top lug locks into a recess in the slide, and the bottom lug rides in a cam path cut into a cam block. See? The block rests in the frame. The firing mechanisms on these pistols were also innovative. The mag release is ambidextrous, and there's no form of applied safety. The self-cocking mechanism is set up so you can't accidentally shoot yourself in the foot.
Thanks, JB. That's probably more than I needed to know.
Yeah, too bad, kid. Oh, Ryan, one more thing. These blasters use 9mm ammo.
Good, we can use the bullets. You ready to talk, Mike? Why were you and your buddy out here?
Looking for stickies. They've been giving us holy hell at Freedom. Every night they slink around, starting fires, chilling travelers, blowing things up. Not only is it a major pain in the collective ass, but the sons of bitches are getting dangerous. We started widening the perimeter of our patrol to see if we can catch them out in the daylight.
And what happens if you do?
Then we chill the sticky bastards.
All two of you?
We're the advance team, the lookouts. Looking down, we got carried away and thought you were stickies.
Ryan lashed out with a steel-reinforced toe of his scuffed boot, kicking the man in the hip bone.
Wrong answer, friend. Want to try again?
Oh, damn, mister! You don't have to kick me!
I'll kick your teeth in if I take a notion, and stomp your balls for an encore if you don't stop jerking me around!
It's the truth! It's the truth!
Do we look like any stickies you ever saw before?
No, not now. Up in the trees you did, sun's going down. It's getting harder to see. I guess we acted without thinking things through.
That's the first honest thing you said to me yet. What kind of strategic genius thought it was a good idea for two men to jump a party of eight? Your odds aren't worth a damn.
Thought if we took out you two, we'd have hostages.
Stickies don't give a rat's ass about hostages.
Mike's partner, Ike, twitched as he started to come around.
Ugh. Oh, look. Ike isn't dead. Perhaps your partner over there can tell me the truth before we decide whether to waste two bullets on your sorry asses.
Adrian frowned and shoved himself forward, pointing an accusatory finger at Mike.
Wait, I think I know who these two are now. Or rather, why they're slinking around and jumping people. They're highway robbers. Thieves. Hiding out here to steal the jack off any visitors before they can get to freedom safely.
You lie!
No, Mike. I think he's made a good point.
Ryan slowly pulled out his panga with a flourish.
Now, I'm not one for torture. But let's see if cutting off some fingers and toes loosens your memory.
Someone coming.
Jack pointed down the stretch of road. Off in the distance, a group of men was riding toward them on horseback. They paused a good distance away, and the leader took out a small, handheld bullhorn.
Hoy to you, friends! We're sending out a representative to talk with you. Hell, I'm coming myself. Don't chill my ass until you hear what I've got to say.
The travelers readied their weapons. Jack cast his ruby gaze at Mildred before looking back at the approaching man.
Getting interesting.
Tell me about it.
The man who'd spoken through the bullhorn handed it to one of his men and rode his horse slowly toward the waiting group. The black man's attire matched the suits worn by Mike and Ike. He reined his horse to a stop about 15 feet from Ryan, keeping both his hands on the reins and in view.
Good evening. I'm Rollins, out of Freedom Mall. I head up the sec operation there.
Mall?
Mall. Freedom's completely enclosed. Didn't you know that?
No. We just thought it was a fancy ville.
Fancy isn't the right word. Who are you?
Ryan Carter. Maybe you can answer a few questions about the men on the ground there.
Seems to me like you found Mike and Ike.
Wrong. They found us. Tried to get the drop on us for our blasters and Jack. Some kind of shitty welcoming committee. You came along just in time. We were debating whether to waste a bullet on them.
Rather you not do that. Waste a bullet, I mean. We've had them hiding out, looking for stickies.
That's the tale they shared with me. I thought it was bullshit.
Some of us still think it's bullshit.
No, it's true. They were up there looking. Not the spot I would have chosen, but I'm not them. We got worried when they hadn't radioed in with a report.
Comm units were off when they came falling out of the tree.
Standard operating procedure. A live radio unit could give them away.
Is it standard operating procedure to go jumping down on stickies when you're outnumbered 4-1?
Not hardly. They sure as hell weren't supposed to try and take them on alone. If you give the two men to me, I'll see to their punishment.
Mildred rolled her eyes and shook her head.
What is this? Grade school? Take away their blasters and armor and make them stand in a corner in a pointy hat with no chocolate milk at recess?
Don't rightly know where you're coming from, ma'am. But these two are my men. My responsibility. I'll take care of them.
We're keeping their ammo.
All right. We'll deduct it from their pay. Being on this road and the end of daylight upon us, I suppose you were heading for freedom?
The thought had crossed our minds.
And then let me offer you an escort. You're close, but the more people on the trail, the safer the trip. These boys have horses somewhere. They can walk in, and you and some of your party can ride, if you know how.
Riding's not a problem.
Well, maybe not. But something is, the way you're looking me over.
We're invited into freedom? Just like that?
Just like that.
Your baron won't mind?
No baron in freedom, ma'am. There's Mr. Morgan, but he keeps a low profile. He's a behind-the-scenes type of leader. We're all answerable to him. But you'll never see his face unless things go bad for you once you're inside.
Don't guess we'll be meeting him then.
Freedom is nothing but people, stores, food, and sluts. A fully functioning ville under one roof. You got Jack to spend? Creds? Metals and stones?
Yeah, we got Jack. Stuff to trade, too.
Well, then you got an invite. Visitors with Jack and useful items are always welcome to freedom.
After some quick debate, Ryan and Christy had taken the reins of the disgraced Secmen's horses. Dean rode behind Ryan, and Christy saddled up with Doc. Jack, Mildred, Adrian, and JB chose to follow on foot. The two beaten Freedom Secmen were allowed to plod along in the lead, where a watchful eye could be kept on them. Rollins had told the truth. The Freedom Mall was close by. The mall came into view long before they actually reached the single imposing entrance. A massive construction of the most red brick anyone had ever witnessed in a single location. With inset panels of tan fieldstone, the architectural beast seemed to have thrust itself upward into the hilly surroundings from a sea of black asphalt. All of Ryan's group had seen malls like this before. In Mildred's case, being a former resident of the late 20th century, she had actually shopped inside quite a few before being placed in the long sleep of cryonic suspension. A wallet of credit cards with her name embossed on the faces was probably still tucked away inside her purse in a hospital storage locker somewhere. Ryan's most recent memory of a mall near this size was the leveled remains of the Sky High Mall back at Bear Creek Ridge in Colorado. Unlike Freedom, which gave off the air of being as solid as a hunk of shining, freshly hewn stone, the Sky High facility had been hit hard by quakes and severe weather, causing entire walls to cave in upon the once spacious and well-appointed interior. Doc peered over Christy's shoulder.
Parking lot looks clear. No junk cars, no wreckage or plant growth.
Yeah, this place is positively tidy.
We keep it cleared. First order of business each spring is to repair the lots. We towed the wags out years ago. Mall management prefers the areas around the perimeter to be unobstructed.
Well, what about that mess?
Dean pointed at a melted, blackened mass of metal and plastic as they headed for the front entrance.
That's new, boy. With all of the recent sticky attacks we've been having, our group has been working overtime keeping the areas clean. Drives the stickies crazy. There's nothing close to burn, so they have to drag in their own shit to set on fire. Pieces of furniture, small engine motorcycles, old dried-out lumber. They even trailer in larger objects from time to time to light up Freedom's nightlife.
Stickies do love their fireworks. I've seen them even set each other ablaze when they're really worked up.
Right. Believe it or not, one of the crazy bastards actually figured out how to use a catapult. A goddamn catapult. Don't know where they got the bastard thing. Used to be an outdoor theater presented in Old Salem, where they'd reenact ancient history and stuff. Maybe it came from there. Anyway, they were flinging flaming shit up on the roof of the mall for a few weeks. Made for some long nights for all the mall sec men. But at least we could see it coming from a mile away in time enough to dodge.
Christy reined her horse over to keep close to Ryan's deep copper-colored gelding.
What made them stop?
Well, as usual, being the scholars they are, none of the stickies seemed to realize that we could see where the flaming loads from the catapult were being launched, and high-power bullets go a lot farther than a fireball.
Took them out using snipers?
You bet. We dug up some old army ordnance in a swap with a vill, and in the trade we picked up an old bolt-action sniping rifle with a night scope. That did the trick. Started picking off muties right and left. Stickies had to leave their catapult behind, and the next morning a team of sec men went out with fire axes and dismantled the damn thing triple quick.
Doesn't sound like you have a problem.
6 months ago we didn't. Things are different now. I don't know what's been going on in the downtown area, but the muties seem to be, they seem to be getting smarter somehow.
At the gaping maw of the reinforced mall entrance, Rollins' sec men parted company with Ryan's group. Mike and the staggering Ike were led away by two of their fellows, while the others took the horses in the opposite direction. A line of people, men, women, and a few kids around Dean's age, were awaiting entry via the Freedom checkpoint. Rollins paused at the secondary Sekmen's entrance and nodded once to Ryan.
Hans will check you through. He's a gatekeeper. No offense, but I hope not to see you again.
Likewise.
As Rollins disappeared into the building, Ryan and the others took positions at the back of the slowly moving line. JB leaned close, glancing at the sec door.
What's your take on that guy?
Seems on the up and up. Could be some kind of trap. But a vill this size, all enclosed. I want to get a closer look.
Same here. Feels okay to me. What it appears to be, it is.
Then we're going in. Stay alert.
The entrance was well guarded, again by four of the Freedom Mall sec men dressed in green. All were armed with automatic weapons. One carried a .30 caliber Browning automatic, while the others cradled M16 assault rifles. They were bulky men, padded with what Ryan guessed to be body armor, similar to what Mike and Ike were wearing. They also wore bulletproof anti-riot helmets with fold-down protective visors. They didn't smile or speak, their faces slightly bored and their eyes hidden by the helmet visors. Greetings and pleasantries were left up to Hans, an elderly gentleman with a cherubic face in an old-style three-piece suit and necktie. When he glanced up at Christy, she gave him a polite smile.
I've seen malls and such before, but never like this one. This one is in great shape.
Are you new to Freedom, Missy?
Yes.
Okay. Here's the spiel for your education and enlightenment. Plus, since I've memorized all this, I might as well pass it on, right? Well, you see, first, some history. Freedom Mall was opened to the public on August 21st, 1975. That's pre-dark calendar. Thousands of people came, streamed inside to shop in the 93 stores that were tenants. Freedom came with 1.4 million square feet of space on a span of 75 acres. There were 5,200 parking spaces. In 1989, they expanded upon the design, adding another 350,000 square feet